30th, about 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, broadcasting just outside Detroit City. Let's welcome our hostess with the most, it's El Carpe. How you doing there?
What up? What up? What's up?
Hey.
Oh, God, that's so nice.
Anyways.
Yeah. So you're just pushing buttons left and right, huh?
Yeah, I'm trying to get used to this.
All right, well, that'll be fun. How you doing, brother? What's happening? What's going on?
Good. What's shaking there, my friend? What's happening on the inside?
Well, just relaxing. It's a Marvel movie night.
Gotcha. Anything good?
Ant-Man and the Wasp tonight. You got to watch most of that. And then, of course, it's time for a show. So I had to step out and do this crap for a little while. And
yeah.
And we're going to get into...
quite caught crap. We've got listeners. Some listeners, yeah. Anyways. I think they're all these guys.
Like to us? People listen to us?
I think so. I don't know. All maybe right. Podbean's just doing us a favor.
There's that.
Throwing some people on there for us so we stick with it.
So a couple things real right off the bat, because I know we're going to do a little catch up here, but I do want to make sure that we start the show almost in a traditional fashion. Because it has been brought to my attention via our legal representation, law offices of Walker, Jameson, and Svedka, that some people who listen might be under the impression that some of the words coming out of our faces might actually be construed as factual, well-researched, and or well-reasoned. And under the direction of the law offices of Walker, Jameson, and Svedka, I'd like to dispel all those misnomers and make it completely clear none of those things have happened. That said, the disclaimer's out of the way. Let's have some fun, brother.
Yeah, let's get going with this thing.
Yeah.
So what do you got? What do you got in store for us?
Well, I actually thought of a couple things. You and I talked about doing like here, and this is why. As I pour a little bit of a schnifter into my little glass there.
Yeah. What are you partaking with or in tonight?
Tonight it's the Jameson Stout edition.
Oh, gotcha.
It's Irish whiskey in a stout beer barrels, aged in stout beer barrels. And it has it's a little thicker flavor. It's not as bitey as some Irish whiskeys can be. And it's a delicious sip. But no, we were talking before that, you know, of course our show is supposed to be, and we originally set it up that it was going to be a musically orientated thing because we both love music, and I won't go into the history of it because, you know, we're 50 some episodes into this thing and people.
Yeah, I think we've explained about 10 times.
Yeah, we've flogged that thing to death, but because it's essentially a musically oriented show, and eventually we're going to be able to get back and go out and see some concerts and talk about that stuff and just have some fun with it. But since we can't do that stuff, I thought we could do like a album of the week type thing, or album of the show.
And yeah, I like that.
I pulled up two, and the reason I want to do that is just to pull up some really unique stuff or some things that, you know, people just don't listen to anymore, or something that, you know, affects you, or you could go, oh, I remember when I listened to this one, you know, and just maybe throw some music out there. People can listen to, pick up on their free time and go, oh, you know, that actually was a pretty good song. I remember that album or that song or whatever. So I grabbed, excuse me. Dinner was delicious, by the way. Thank you.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. So I grabbed a couple of my old cassettes, which is, that's telling you how old I am.
Yeah. Do you want to explain what a cassette is?
For those of you who are younger, cassette tape is this, metallic black tape that was rolled up really tightly into this little cassette type thing, which is sort of about the size of a little bit smaller than most people's iPhones these days. And you could put that in something that was called a Walkman. And a Walkman was this device that used to play these cassettes and you'd listen to it on your headphones. And that was the advanced version.
Wasn't that a big deal when it came out?
You used to have to put a cassette in a cassette deck that was connected to your multi-port speaker system and, you know, super receiver. And, you know, It used to be a project, listening to music back in the old days. Anyways, enough of the old fart stuff. No, so I just grabbed a couple of them, and I'm going to throw one out, and then I'm going to let you, maybe if you had one that you were thinking of. But I have been, for a long time, a fan of the band James.
I do remember the name.
James had a number of albums out, late 80s, early 90s. But there's one that I really liked. There's only like two or three songs off it that people would recognize. The first one is Sit Down. Oh, sit down mm-hmm. next to me. That one and the one after that is Come Home. But that whole album I used to listen to, actually just before I got married, I was working at an office and I used to play this in my office. And I think I wore this tape out. I don't even know if it's usable anymore. But I love it. I actually ended up buying the CD too.
Huh, interesting.
But that's James, and the album is James, and it's just that's it. It's just called James, and it is from 1991. Just some really good melodic, good voices, good vocals. The song, the lyrics actually mean something. You know, it was. I don't know, still progressive rock at the time or whatever. And I really just enjoy it. And I could pop this tape back into something if I had something to play it on and listen to the whole thing all over again and just love it.
Right, right.
So that's interesting. That's my that's one of my two of the albums of the week.
All right.
You got anything you were thinking of? Or do you got a song that's been playing in your head? Or what's going on with your musical?
There's a song that comes up occasionally. And it's a band that I don't think got enough notoriety for their talents. I don't know if they had too many chart hits, but I'd certainly love to see them in concert. I think, unfortunately, they were touring, I think, for a little while just recently. And I believe the lead singer came down with cancer, I believe. Don't quote me on that because none of this is researched. But I think I remember reading that something happened to the lead singer. And I love their names, one of my favorite band names, and it's the Tragically Hip.
Oh, yeah.
You remember the Tragically Hip? Blow It High Dough? Remember Blow It High Dough?
I don't know. I
can't sing it for you, but.
No, that was the song?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Blow It High Dough was one of their popular ones.
I don't know if I know this by the name of it.
Yeah, it's.
But I know that they had a couple of songs that got popular.
Yeah.
And I probably like the more off the wall ones anyway, because that's how tragically unhip I am.
Right, right. No pun intended, right?
Is that no correct? Pun absolutely intended. Absolutely.
I just think it was one of those bands that had a lot of talent. It was easy to listen to. Anybody could listen to them. And they had a lot, you know, they've been around for a while. And like I said, I think unfortunately something maybe happened to the lead singer or not touring anymore. But one of the bands I've always wanted to see, never had a chance to.
Were they like early 90s, middle 90s?
I think they were mid 80s is when they got their start. Really? I'm on Wikipedia right now. They are from Canada.
You do that.
And well, I'm looking at the hip of them. You know what? Yeah, Blow It High Dough appeared in 1989 in April. So you might be pretty close. Yeah, I thought they were a little bit earlier than that.
I was thinking they were more of that type of not like early 80s stuff.
Right, right. Yeah, they're a little bit later. They kind of reminded me a little bit. Yeah. It's kind of the same style as the Waterboys. I think you knew the Waterboys. Yeah. And I think there were another one.
The Waterboys is another one of those. That it was not on my list for today, but they would have come up.
Yeah.
Because I lived in Ireland for a while, and they had a lot of really good stuff, and they did some collaborations that were just phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just I'm looking at the Tragically Hip thing here because I see where you're talking about Blow High Dough, but And that was, 89. But there's something.
Blow it high, Doe. You've heard it.
I've heard of it. But
that's all you're getting out of me. So.
Yeah, there's probably something later that I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
And it'll come to me. It's not important. But no, that's you're right. Tragically Hip.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Good choice.
Yeah. When I think of Tragically Hip, I think of the Water Boys. They just have this kind of the same kind of similar sounds.
It's a full sound.
Yeah, exactly. It's almost like a Dave Matthews type, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot going on all at once, and it just fills the – like there's no wavelength that doesn't seem to be – every wavelength is covered when it comes to the sound.
It's how almost like
– I'm the same way. I'm the same way with the Water Boys.
Yeah, if you even want to get one step further, Camper Van Beethoven would be – Camper Van Beethoven – Tragically Hip and the Water Boys are all very similar in their styles.
Really?
You know? I've seen Camper Van Beethoven in Royal Oak, and they were a phenomenal. Horns and all kinds of stuff. They had like, I think I counted 12 instruments they had.
Oh, I was thinking of Femmes. Because Femmes are completely opposite. They are the bare bones minimum, basically vocals, drums, guitar, and bass.
Right.
Just really, really raw and not sketchy, but like intermittent.
Right. Musically. Right. Yep.
Like there's various spaces in the song where there's no song.
Yeah. Yeah. I know what you're saying.
There's no music playing, whereas these other ones, you're right. Camper Van Beethoven, I forgot. I was confusing them. But, they've got a pretty full sound, too.
Yeah. It's, Where the Hell is Bill? Take the Skinheads Bowling. Vacation in Cambodia.
Right. That's still
to me. It's all the old ska music.
Yeah. It's a different kind of fill the sound.
Yeah. Well, he went on, the lead singer, David Lowery, went on to form Cracker. And they did. Quite a few hits with Cracker.
Right.
But if they ever come back around, we'll have to try to go see them.
Yeah, I think that would be a fun show.
Yeah, it was good. It was really good.
And then here's for my Detroit friends. I'm gonna move it to my second choice, which actually was my first choice, but I wanted to build up to it. For our Detroit friends, what I consider one of the best unsung Detroit bands. I swear to God, these guys have. Thank you. That would be Rhythm Corps.
Oh, Rhythm Corps. We were supposed to go see them.
Yeah.
Wasn't I talking to you about Rhythm Corps? Mr. Matt went down with a bunch of his buddies, Matt and Stan and all them. They all went down there.
Happened. I don't think I was able to go, but that would have been a show.
I think we just kind of, decided not to go.
Yeah, but Rhythm Corps has one of their early albums, and I'm looking at this now. It looks like it's 1988 with Solidarity on it.
Yeah, and, yeah.
Common Ground.
Common Ground, yeah.
Yeah, those were the two. Side one of this CD, the first five songs are really good.
I always forget about those guys.
I don't think I ever listened. Yeah. I really, if you have a chance, I know everybody's kind of buying songs one at a time these days. But, if you're really in a mood for something that really rocks, you look for the original version of Solidarity. That was raw. They did a later version of it in the early 90s.
Yeah.
Which was a little more polished. And it's a good song. I mean, it's a good song all around, but the second version is a little more polished and a little less raw and emotional. The first version of, you can find the old version of Solidarity. It is, if you're a fan of U2 and you really like Blood Red Sky, that CD, and some of U2's early stuff, just raw and just
Bullet the Blue Sky, Bullet the Red Sky.
There's
Bullet the Blue Sky.
No,
am I gonna
album is Under a Blood Red Sky.
Oh, Yeah, Under a Blood Red Sky for the album. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Cool. And that was one of the earlier albums. But this Solidarity by Rhythm Corps is just as raw, and I think even better.
They kind of came out the same time in Excess did, didn't they?
Later, a little bit later.
Am I right?
Excess was 83, and Excess came out 82, 83. Rhythm Corps was more like 84, 85, and then they got their album produced 88. But yeah, no, good stuff all around. So, I mean, those are my two picks. And actually this Rhythm Corps, the album that I'm looking at is called Common Ground. And
yeah,
this is the one with the, less crazy, the less, raw version. I have the Rhythm Corps record that has 5 songs on it. And it's, when I say record, I mean actual vinyl.
Right. Right.
It's either 4 or 5 songs on it, and it has the original version of Solidarity, which is the raw version, and it rocks. It just rocks. And if you have the chance, you look it up, you find it, and it's going to be before 1988. And you'll be able to tell if you find 2 different versions of it, you listen to one, you listen to the other, you go, oh, that's the raw one. That's the good one.
Right. Right. I'll have to look that up.
It's beyond sexy.
Yeah, I don't know if I've heard that version. I've heard the song, but I don't know if I've heard that version.
Yeah. Oh, good stuff, man.
Interesting.
So, have you got anything else? You got any other recommendations for the week?
Not offhand.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll save it maybe for Sunday.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean you rolled into the Waterboys almost on accident, that's another good one.
Yeah.
I have the Waterboys' Hole of the Moon.
Yeah.
Which is probably one of their later albums. That's the one that, you know, they had some popular stuff. They did a collab with a couple of different guys that were famous on that one. And that's a good album. That's a good opening album to get into the Waterboys.
Right, right. The Fisherman's Blues is obviously one of the popular
that's
ones.
That's the one. Hole of the Moon is on Fisherman's Blues. That's the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've got so many CDs and so many different stuff with so many, it's whatever. But yeah, no, the Fisherman's Blues, that's the one I'm thinking of. It's a good gateway when you want to get into some Waterboy stuff and there's some really creative stuff on there. There's some severely Irish sounding music.
Yeah. The second song on the album is We Will Not Be Lovers. And that's a good one too.
Oh,
I'm sure you remember that.
That's a good one. Yeah. Oh, yes, I do. If you went through and just named the songs off, I could tell you where in Ireland I was when I heard them.
All right. You want me to do it right now?
No.
You got 13 to go, or 13 total. Yeah, I'll read them off real quick. Fisherman's Blues, We Will Not Be Lovers, Strange Boat, World Party, Sweet Thing, Jimmy Hickey's Waltz, and A Bang on the Ear. Has anybody here seen Hank? When Will We Be Married? When Ye Go Away? Dunford's Fancy, Stolen Child.
When You Go Away.
This Land Is Your Land. Woody Guthrie. I've never heard that one.
The version, the CD that I have has them reading from Yeats, I think.
Huh.
Great.
It's
Irish
kind of an intro?
There's, no, it's just like kind of in the background, like the bridge.
Yeah, yeah.
Like doing a reading from Yeats, mixing it. There's really creative stuff. And, you know, it's just, if you love music and I'm losing my mind.
Yeah.
But
well,
it's good stuff.
If you want some good stuff to listen to that you haven't heard or that you don't hear on the radio or pretty much anywhere else, it's maybe, I don't know. Yeah. Needs to Be Resurrected. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Waterboys, Tragically Hip. What was the other one I said? Waterboys, Tragically Hip, and Camper Van Beethoven. Camper Van Beethoven is a little bit out there. They're kind of all over the board, but all over the board good. Yeah, they're kind of, I don't know.
Yeah, they're sort of
experimental, so to speak.
Not Dinosaur Jr., but who's the one I'm thinking of that's also not Where the Hell Is Bill, because that's Camper Van Beethoven. There's another one of those bands that's around the same time.
Suicidal tendencies?
No. more off the wall than that.
I'm kidding. Skinny puppy?
Off the wall than that. Stop. All right, next. Next item of
those are bands too.
Contention.
So anyway,
they are bands. They're great bands, yeah. But not where the not even remotely the direction I was going.
No, complete opposite. Those are all jokes.
And I got to bring up this one next week too. I'm writing this stuff down while I'm thinking it.
Good idea.
Because you know I'm going to lose this piece of paper with all the other pieces of paper I lost with all the other stuff. It's been such a crazy week. Thank God this year's almost over, brother.
We were talking about, you know, concerts and stuff. Well, one thing I want to say is we're talking about concerts and we're kind of eager to get back. Mm-hmm. And Bill and I don't know, we go to whatever, 4, 5, 6 concerts a year, maybe sometimes. I think what might be interesting is to take our podcast down the road and maybe interview people outside or before the concerts and see what they thought.
Before and after. Yeah.
And after. So that might be kind of interesting. You know, we can take this.
We're totally
this
doing anywhere. That.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we're absolutely.
I think
doing
that that was one of our original intentions.
That was, and actually, I still have.
So I think
some of those videos.
I think it'd be
there
pretty
was
cool.
A couple of at the first where we came up with the idea. We were out in the back talking to
church.
A gal that said her dad. Yeah, at the church, her dad knew.
Oh no, that was the rival sons.
Was that Rivals?
That when we were outside on the side, and we were talking to the father
the
with
was,
like,
her dad
partying with like a bunch of Bob Seger and
Bob Seger fans and Bob Seger, and she like and showed us pictures of her apparently with Bob Seger. I wouldn't know Bob Seger.
Yeah,
so
I don't.
I mean, I love him and everything. It's good music, but I don't pay that close attention. I listen to the music, but that was funny, and I think I still have some of those videos saved.
you know,
honestly,
they might be.
I had it on my phone, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing with this. It's be sad to throw it away because it was fun stories. If we get people actually commenting on our podcast stuff that say, hey, we want to see this stuff or we want to hear about this stuff, we'll figure out a way to do it. But
we
actually need people to ask for it because otherwise this is going to sit on my phone until it dies and it's going to go away.
Yeah, no, it's a good idea. And you know what?
I mean, I was there. I know what happened, so I don't need it.
We had the idea of passing out. We had the idea of passing out business cards, not business cards, but little advertising cards for our podcast. Might be a good time to do it, you know.
Well, we're not doing it. It doesn't matter.
It might leapfrog us a little bit. Instead of having 100 followers, we might have 110 followers.
107 tops. We get to 107 followers.
Oh, we're done. We're done. We're selling the name. We're selling the name. Low Standards and Poor's, and we're going to retire. Woo!
Exactly. On the 48 cents each we get.
Oh, it's been quite the grind.
Oh, man.
We're getting there.
It's been fun. This whole thing has been fun. There's been some interesting evenings where we've talked about some stuff that, and then there's been some interesting evenings where we've drank some stuff that, and then there's been some interesting evenings that, well, we can't talk about any of those.
Right. What's up, J-Lo?
There's just been some interesting evenings.
Yeah.
J-Lo.
Yeah. Well, I think.
Awesome.
You got any useless trivia?
I was going to go into some useless trivia.
Yeah, what do you got?
I was going to. I got 4 items. Okay. Ooh. And I'm going to. And this is. I'm going to kind of throw it out there and then we'll see what happens and we'll talk about it for a bit. And then this builds up. From one to the next to the next. And the last one is like, holy crap. The last one is going to require the disclaimer again. even though since we're talking about – what are we talking about? Oh, trivia.
Yeah, useless trivia.
And useless trivia. Since we're talking about trivia, I have to make sure because these items are so incredibly trivial – but yet they may have some fact base to them. I need to make sure that everyone understands that our legal representation from the law offices of Walker, Jameson, and Svedka have mentioned that anybody who thinks that there's any reason that we might have researched any of this stuff and any of the things that come out of our face that could be construed as factual, researched, and or well-reasoned The law offices of Walker Jameson and Svedka have told us that we must make it clear that none of this stuff is researched.
Well said.
And we can't be held responsible, and neither can the law offices of Jameson, Walker, and Svedka. That said, Sippy.
Take a sip. Wet the pipes.
Yes. I'm gonna do this one off the wall and weird.
All right.
You
know how non-trivial I am, but go ahead. I might get lucky.
I know that. Well, but J-Lo might know this too.
J-Lo, you should know.
I know you know what the first video was on MTV. I know you know what that is. And tell me what that is.
Video Killer Radio Star? Buggles.
Correct.
Buggles.
So the question on this trivia is, what date and time did that first video play on MTV? Date and time.
I'm just going to guess 1980 at 1 o'clock. It's got to be close.
So, close. And the reason I can, and this was this is the first question that popped into my head, because I love this one, because I was there.
I think I was too. And my buddy Eddie's.
Yeah, I was. My buddy had his dad. They had cable at his house, and we were having a sleepover. And at 12:01 a.m. August 1st. Yes, it was the moment after midnight on August 1st, 1981.
I was not there then. Okay.
1981, and I remember, dun 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 dun, dun, and there he was, putting the flag on the moon.
Right,
and
right.
It was MTV, and then Video Killed the Radio Star. And holy crap!
That was a game changer.
Yeah, the 80s were kicked off right. Hey, J-Lo says, hey, guys, I'm in and out, but we'll be as attentive as possible. LOL.
Is it laughing online or laughing out loud? I still don't know. Or is it just both? It's laughing online, isn't it?
No, it's laughing out loud or licking only lamb chops. I don't know. It's laughing out loud.
You sure?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I might have to challenge you to that.
Do what you want. So that was the first crazy trivia. So here's one that as I was plopping around looking at for goofy shit to talk about tonight.
Yeah.
What was the first video on YouTube and when?
Oh, Jesus. I would have no idea. YouTube. First video on YouTube.
I know you're not going to get this. You're not even going to come close. And this.
Well, is it that obscure? I mean, is it like a science project for some third grader? Huh?
No. What it is one of the co-founders of YouTube did a 18-second video of Me at the Zoo is the title of it. And that was on April 23rd in 2005. But
2005.
The significant part about that is that was when YouTube was owned by him and a couple other guys.
Right. They're still private, maybe?
1 year later, they sold YouTube to Google for $1.6 billion.
Isn't that crazy?
Ridiculous. But I mean, you look at it now. I mean, look what YouTube is. It's ubiquitous.
Yeah.
Google, YouTube, it's ubiquitous. It's everywhere. You can't, it's just there.
I tell people that I'm a YouTube junkie, and they're like, really? You watch YouTube? I'm like, you can get onto YouTube and watch anything you want. Documentaries, concerts, you name it. History, it's all on there pretty much. Yeah.
There's well-researched history. There's arbitrarily researched history. There's guys pulling other people's fingers and farting on lot, people leaping off of roofs, doing stupid shit. And then there's the really smart stuff. But it runs the gamut.
Right, right.
You can find any interest you have, you can find it on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah.
So this here's a fun one, and this is back to music again, because, our podcast is supposed to be about music.
That's what we're about.
So I'm going to ask you, I'm going to tell you something and ask you a question. And okay. I'm going to be surprised if you get this answer correct.
All right.
In 2012, Paul McCartney performed at the London Olympics opening ceremony. Pretty cool. You have a Beatle doing the opening ceremony at the London Olympics opening ceremony. That's huge, right? How much
do you think? I mean, it doesn't seem like out of the ordinary, but go ahead. Maybe I'm missing
something. No, I mean, but that's cool because he's a Beatle and it's London. I mean, you would expect. That's cool.
Right.
How much do you think they paid him? How much did Paul McCartney get paid to do that? You got 3 seconds. Three, two.
Oh, three guess. Or 30? A pound.
Guess. Just guess.
A pound.
You looked it up, jackass.
No, it's the only I could think of.
He got paid £1.
Did he really?
To do a performance, a full-on performance at the opening ceremony.
That was a complete guess. And I was just like, I was actually being stupid. Like, a pound. You know?
And you know why he did it? You know why he did it? He felt that it was his civic duty to do so.
That's awesome.
He didn't feel he should get paid to do it. He wanted to do it because he felt like it's his. They asked me to do it. It's my responsibility. This is my skill. It was like a donation.
Right, right.
That's
exactly.
Huge. That's just huge.
That's really awesome. Really huge.
You got any weird ass trivia in the back of your skull that you're thinking of?
No, gosh. I have to think about it. I left it up to you tonight, but.
That's good because I come up with the fourth and final psychotic, crazy, almost over-researched, but not quite.
Okay.
Piece of trivia. And I give you this piece of trivia, I must remind you that the law offices of Walker, Jameson, and Svedka have informed me to inform you that even though this may seem researched, it ain't. Even though this might sound like it's actual real stuff, it's just two drunken monkeys yapping with each other. So let it go.
Right. And don't turn
that
us in.
And basically, you can't come at us with any law stuff because the law offices of Walker, James, and Svedka have put a protective shield around us, covering our idiocy. So that said, do you know why? How do I put this? The Stradivarius violin is known for a very unique and special sound. Do you know of any ecological reason why this would be that way?
I have heard why, because I've seen like a documentary on it before.
Oh, I'm so happy.
And so happy. I thought, hold on, let me think about this. Don't give me 3 seconds. Give me like 30. Hold on.
Bring it, baby. Just get away from the computer. Do not look.
No, I got my eyes closed because that's how I think. I don't think and drive.
Yeah, no kidding. Don't think and walk either.
Yeah, I don't do that either.
And don't drink and park.
I can't remember if it was the design or the type of wood or
both.
Yeah, I'm close, but I can't. I thought it, for some reason, it keeps telling me it was the type of wood.
Let me know when you're ready for help.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, it is partially the design.
Yeah.
Because there's a certain resonance when you stroke the bow across the tight strings.
Mm-hmm.
It sends a vibration through the instrument. And that's why they have those particular F-shaped holes in the face of the instrument, because that allows for whatever maximum amount of vibration and or what have you to make the sound the way it's supposed to be.
Right. But
the quality of the wood is also very, very important. And the documentary that I also saw, and it's the one about the Little Ice Age, because from like the 1600s to the late 1700s, there was a mini ice age where there was
it did something to the trees.
In Europe,
hardened or something. Go ahead.
In Europe, in Europe, there was this little ice age, and it also carried, it was a North American little ice age, essentially.
Yeah.
But it also caused slow growth. Could you do that any louder, please?
Did you hear that?
Whatever you're doing. Yeah. You're
a bag of peanuts. Like, no, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Right under the microphone.
Oh my, it's like a foot away. Sorry.
Not even close to a foot away. It's like,
how about,
you might as well be doing it right in my ear. I love this part.
I didn't realize it was that sensitive.
You goofball. I can hear whenever you pick up your glass and the ice rattles around in your
skin. I know. I got to stop doing that. I was listening to our past podcast. And it's like, clink, 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 clink. I never realized it was that loud. Stupid Yetis.
So, back to the little ice age.
Yeah.
What happens, or what did happen, was because of the little ice age, it caused slow growth in the trees. And because of the slow growth in the higher density wood, it changed the way the vibrations traveled through the wood when they made the violins out of that particular type of wood. And because of where Stradivarius lived, he was harvesting trees that had been over 100 years in that slow growth.
And right, so right.
That dense, and that's what, and it's like you can't reproduce it.
Mm-mm.
Because the trees of that don't, it's not the same anymore.
Yeah,
but they had done tests and things where they tried various.
You can't recreate that natural process.
Well, right, but they tried composites and different densities and different things like that, and they were able to reproduce it as best as possible to where the best ears couldn't tell the difference. And I did all this research more or less, even though that the law offices of Walker, Jameson, Svedka said I didn't. I did some research to figure out that some of the very best ears in the world couldn't figure out the difference between a Stradivarius and the new composites that they're using.
Interesting.
It doesn't really draw away from the fact that here's this 450-year-old violin that makes a very specific, particular resonance.
And when you know what's funny?
I mean the sound.
So I was...
And that's all that... It's all music is a resonance in your ears and a resonance from the instrument to your ears. It's a wavelength. It's just a series of wavelengths placed in the right direction, right order, and the right combination of different series of wavelengths.
Yeah.
That makes your brain go, I like that. Or your brain go, that's crap.
I was watching Marcus Lemonis last night on Streets of Dreams. Streets of Dreams was a little kind of new show that he's got. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about diamonds and the whole diamond industry, which I thought was very interesting. You know, blood diamonds that. So we talked about the history of that and all that.
All that now they can make.
Yeah, that's exactly. So yeah, so they're talking about, would you buy a fake diamond? It's a made in a laboratory, and they're saying that they're supposed to take off and be that much more popular. I don't know. I mean, if I was getting married, I'd have a hard time giving her a, you know, fake diamond, cubic zirconia, whatever you want to call them.
Those fake diamonds are not cubic zirconias. Those are diamonds. Those are actual diamonds.
I thought cubic zirconias were made that way. No?
No. Cubic zirconia is different.
Oh, okay.
The diamonds you're talking about are actual diamonds.
Yeah.
Been around for 200, 500 million years or whatever.
They had these little squares they put in this, like,
It's a carbon man-made diamond. Carbon.
Yeah.
Right. It's a man-made diamond, but it is a diamond.
Mm-hmm.
It's not cubic zirconia. It's not.
That's what I thought. Cubic zirconia.
Any other stone? Okay. No, cubic zirconia is the.
It's actually a diamond. It's not from the earth.
Cubic zirconia is a fake stone that I gave to my wife as part of our engagement. Because the diamond industry says you need to give 3 months of your salary to purchase the diamond for your wife.
Oh, I got that. I got it.
And so I bought a $150 cubic zirconia because I was working in radio at the time, and I made no money whatsoever.
Yeah.
And so I spent 3 months' salary that $150 and proposed to her at a gas station, and it was hilarious.
Lovely, lovely. You are so romantic.
The kids still laugh at that story.
That's awesome. I did not know.
You proposed to mom at a gas station?
It's original.
Yeah.
Definitely original.
I'm an idiot and an asshole, and I'm unique.
Yeah, you're definitely an original a-hole. That's for sure. That's when it comes to that.
I'm not going to argue with you.
All right, I got some trivia for you.
Oh God, here
it comes. I was kind of curious about this. Mm-hmm. Two parts to it. What year did the stereo 8-track cartridge get created? And what major airline company was a part of it?
Oh, that's 1972, and it's Aer Lingus.
Good guess, though.
You give the answer while I put myself on mute because I have to go get some more ice for my beverage.
All right.
I'm listening.
Oh, you are listening? Talking. I was gonna put some music on and give us a little station identification.
So we don't need to do the station identification break to brag about our lofts. This is Walker Jameson. We're not going to do that again. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put myself on mute, and you're going to talk for a while I grab ice, and I'll be right back, and I'll let you know when I'm back.
Yeah, the stereo 8-track cartridge was created in 1964 by a consortium led by Bill Lear of Lear Jet Corporation, along with Ampex, Ford Motor Company, General Motors, Motorola, RCA, Victor Records, believe it or not. I don't remember exactly when they stopped making 8-tracks. Let's see. It doesn't say.
They stopped making 8-tracks about 4 days after they made the first 3 8-tracks.
Yeah, exactly.
Used an 8-track? Do you remember using one?
Did you ever? I had like 2 8-tracks, and I remember exactly which ones. Well, I got to think about. I know the artist, and I think I remember the name of the album. But it was Queen, News of the World, and it was Ted Nugent, like Stranglehold or something.
Right. I think we had Boston, and we had one of the first Boston albums, or one of the first Journey albums. On 8-track at one of my buddy's houses. I wouldn't spend the money on it, but his older sister did, and it was like ridiculous. He was so excited about the whole thing. I'm like, dude, I'd rather use a cassette tape. This seems to be like clunky. He's like, it's clunky, but look, you can do this, you can do that, and like, whatever. And then, 80 years later, CDs came out and everything was good.
Yeah, that was a big craze. God, CDs. Yeah. I remember going to School Kid Records out in Ann Arbor and spending like a half a day there just flipping through CDs. And that was cool because it was a college town at U of M, so they had all the obscure stuff, all the college radio stuff. And I'd come back and I'd be playing something in my car or whatever, and people would be like, what the hell is this? You know, that's when REM was getting big and the Femmes and all that stuff. And, it was cool times back then. Those are times I hope I never forget about because probably the best days of my life.
Well, I remember from that's the one in Ann Arbor, right?
Yeah.
I bought Echo and the Bunnymen's Ocean Rain on CD there. I was hanging out with, this would have been in 1987.
The same time I was there. 86 to probably, I don't know, early 90s I was hanging out there.
This would have been in 87. I bought Ocean Rain. Because I was with my girlfriend at the time who went to U of M.
Gotcha.
And so she was like, this is pretty cool stuff. You should hear these Echo and the Bunnymen. I'm like, I have heard Echo and the Bunnymen. And she's like, yeah, but this one's a really good. And she talked.
What was your first alternative band you think you heard that kind of gave you the hook?
The Pretenders.
Do you remember?
The Pretenders.
Oh, the Pretenders? Yeah. Do you have a CBGB t-shirt?
I don't. Yeah, I gotta get one. I don't have a CBGB t-shirt.
Oh, you don't have one?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Those are kind of iconic.
Yeah, that's kind of – and, it doesn't matter to me. I was never there. It was not my thing. But
yeah, but you're cool if you wear one. There's a lot of history there.
I don't care if I'm cool.
Yeah, I don't know.
52-year-old dad.
Yeah, but you got to be cool if you're 52.
I have kids that look at me like, what the hell's the matter with you? What does that matter? I can't even be cool with my wife anymore. She just looks at me like, oh, yeah, that was actually almost a funny joke. Don't try that again. Not in public, at least. I'm like, honey, pull my finger. Yeah, she doesn't like that one either. Did I hang up on you? Are you hiding? I'm still here. Well, whatever. I'm going to keep on talking. So anyways, we were talking today about – you just disappeared for a minute there.
Oh, I did?
Yeah. It was like nothing.
Oh.
Whatever.
I don't know.
Finger.
You know, I've got my earbud plugged into my Yeti microphone, and I don't know if my earbud is picking up my voice, the mic on it, or if the Yeti is. But I screwed up one of my settings, and I can't figure out how to just use my earbud and put the Yeti thing away. So I'll have to do it another time. I've been struggling with this technology stuff.
I gotta tell you, I guarantee you, in 2021, there's going to be a show of Low Standards and Pours where we're both together in the same place doing.
You know, it might happen.
Upstairs at Eric's, and actually being upstairs at Eric's.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm like kind of like the old days. About it. Yeah, the good old days of 2019.
Well, I gotta inform you of something, which doesn't really, doesn't really put a damper on anything. Just kind of changes things a little bit. But I've got a bet with a friend of mine until June 27th, total percentage of weight loss.
Oh,
$500. Old Big E is gonna get in some 36s. I hope. By summertime and be back to my
brother.
Yeah, I want to get back into my parachute pants and my spandex.
Can't touch this.
You know, I do. I have a pair of spandex that are mediums when I was 30. That wasn't too much before I met you, like five years.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Hey, you
mediums.
Weren't that big a guy. You were
mediums.
Not that big
I wasn't.
Guy when I
it's when, you know what happened is when the mortgage crisis happened. I was just telling somebody about this too, but you know,
you really cartoned out when the mortgage crisis happened.
I just cashed out for about a year, year and a half. Like, you know what? Yeah. I'm so tired. There was no jobs. I was tired.
It was 2007, right?
Yeah, I started cashing out probably. Really, it was bad 2009, 2010, closer to 2010. But that's when everything was coming back, declining value and. Trying to hustle mortgages, and then, you know, just got spanked on being in. So 9/11 happened, and then that shut me down as far as construction got laid off. And I got into mortgages with Mr. Matt, and then got into that for 7 years. We had the mortgage crisis, and by that time I was so fed up. I was like, I'm gonna take a year off and live off unemployment, odd jobs. And then I got into real estate.
You and I and Mr. Matt were together probably what 2006.
Yeah, I think somewhere around then. That's about right.
Just before the crash.
Yeah, I was still like 36
and then
probably.
And then the crash happened. I traveled. And
I just cashed out.
To wherever the work was.
You know where I was at? I was at a local bar in Plymouth. Like you said, living off unemployment. Everything just kind of swirled out of control, and there was nothing I could do. Mm-hmm. I mean, there could have been. I don't know. But at the time, I was still tired of writing – you know, resumes and, you know, there was nothing available out there. It's like, oh, you have a construction management degree. What is that? No, thank you. We're not interested.
Right. And, you know, I'm going to tell you this. I mean, and mind you, the losses of Walker Jameson Svedka said, number one, El Carpe is not any way, shape, or form any type of psychologist or psychiatrist. So pay no attention to him. And that is directly from the losses of Walker Jameson and Svedka. Don't pay any attention. None of this stuff is real. But there are some possible – don't pay any attention to him. But when you get into a situation where it is that crazy, sometimes in everybody's life, there's that thing that happens that just suspends reality for a little bit. And you just go, fuck it. And it could be – it could be a month, it could be 2 days, it could be 6 months, it could be 8 years.
Yeah.
That that basically your brain just goes, fuck it. I don't have anything to do with this. And you suspend reality. You go off into the punji sticks. You overeat. You overdrink. You overdo something. You do drugs. You get. It can happen to anybody.
Yeah.
There's something triggers something and it says, screw you, we're done. It's like something just goes off kilter. And until you get, and I don't know what it is that puts you back on kilter from the off kilter to put you back on kilter, off kilter, on kilter, off, off. I don't know what it is that puts you back. And, you know, I'm still working on that. I think I'm still off kilter from my mom going away.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you probably will be for a little while.
You know. And like I said, like I told you, and I'm not going to get all deep into this right now, but like I told you off the air one time was that, you know, we didn't have a ceremony and I didn't get to say the goodbye.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't get to close that gate.
Right. Right.
And I think there's a lot of people out there that have had someone important to them pass away in the past 12 months with this COVID shit and whatever. Yeah. Because of the COVID shit, they weren't able to do
a regular
event that people are accustomed to say goodbye.
Yeah.
And if you can't say goodbye, then you can't close the door. If you can't close the door, there's a toe in that door holding it open.
Yeah.
The crazy comes through.
Yeah.
I can't tell you. I'm going to be serious for about 38 seconds, then we're going to go silly again.
But yeah.
I can't tell you how many times a day I am 4 seconds away from breaking down crying.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know. I know what you're saying.
And it doesn't happen. And then I'm like, well, why didn't that happen? I needed that.
Yeah, but yeah.
It doesn't happen. And then I just keep moving forward.
Right, right.
Like, all right, well, there it is. And, you know, the other night we're watching stupid what do you call those?
Steel Magnolias?
No, the Hallmark movies.
Oh, watching shit, I don't
dumbass
know.
Hallmark movies with my wife and kids. Any dumbass Hallmark. It doesn't matter.
You better put like Platoon on or something or whatever, some shoot 'em up movie.
I'm Rambo. Watching dumbass Hallmark, dumbass Christmas Hallmark movie with my family. And I'm like bawling my eyes out and they don't see it.
Yeah,
they're watching
the
show or they're doing whatever. And I'm just like, oh my God, this is so beautiful. This is one. But these things touch you. And it's because you need to have the event to close the door.
Yeah. Yep.
I understand that. And I went through this with my dad and I'm going through it now with my mom. The door hadn't been closed and I had to figure out with my dad, I had to figure out how to close that door on my own.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we did eventually have the ceremony, which was essentially the door closing, but we're not going to be having anything for Ma until the middle of 2021.
Right, right. Well, hopefully, you know, you guys celebrate too, you know, put all the pictures up, talk about her, you know,
have a few beers, cocktails. I can't live like this for the next 6 months and not close the door.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to work on it. I'm talking to my wife and we're having a good time with it and trying to figure it out. You know, I've got a good support crew and all four people that listen to us who support us and say, El Carpa, you're all right. It'll be cool.
We've got you.
Okay.
Got
so
you.
That was enough.
I'm here for you.
But so anyway, Sunday,
let me ask you a question and we'll talk about this like 6 minutes and then we'll wrap it up because we've talked about this before, but it's been on my mind. A little bit, I guess, and I'll kind of
paint the picture a little bit. Oh God, if it's on your mind, forget it. We're in.
Yeah. So, you know, I sit here later on at night, you know, and the day's kind of wrapping up and kind of whatever. I don't know, just killing some time and getting ready to go to bed, whatever. Maybe 9, 10 o'clock at night, whatever. And I just starting to realize how completely useless the TV is and all the programming. And it kind of goes into the social media part of it too. It's like, I find myself sometimes, it's been quite a few times where I just can't get to sleep, just wide awake, I don't know. It's 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, it's on the edge of my bed, and I'm flipping through like Facebook crap and Instagram crap, and I'm like, why do I watch this? Why do I look at? And these people, there's this new thing. I don't know what it is, where it came from. I don't know if it's a fad. I'm guessing there's going to be an endless amount of new fads or continuing fads that go on. But it's just where girls get in front of the camera and they do this dance with their feet kind of thing. And it's like, it's all to like similar songs. Like you'll find like a bunch of them will do it to the same song. And then, you know, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't know where it comes from, but they're like, and it's all they're doing is a little dance in front of the camera. And it's almost like they're looking as if, you know, some like kind of acceptance, like they need to see those like little heart things light up and be thousands of them to prove like how good they are, you know? And it's such, to me, such a false way of getting, I don't even know. I mean, it's like so artificial, you know? Yeah. It's like, what's going to happen another 10 years with social media and how people are going to develop as humans? And we don't even talk right now. Like everybody walks around with a cell phone in front of their face. You know, you watch, and I'm going to get a little like wound up, but you know, you have these people, yeah, you have these people like in the parking lot or something. And I don't know, the cart bumps into the car and the guy gets out and he's all pissed off. And the lady's like, don't hit me, don't hit me. And then she's got her phone in the hand up in the air and she's screaming. And the guy hasn't even done anything yet. It's like completely all made up because whatever. And it's just like, it's absurd. And it might be one out of a million people. And that's kind of my point. It's like, I never see it. It never happens to me. But it's these people that post this stuff and they call them like Karens and all this stuff. And it's all these people that get like the other ones were, you know, somebody might go to like McDonald's or something or some fast food place. And these people are like screaming bloody murder because they jacked up the order. I mean, these people are nuts, like climbing over the counter and throwing shit. And I'm like, what the hell's wrong with people? And the people at McDonald's can't touch them, right? Like they can't push them off the counter. They can't throw them out the door because you get fucking sued. Right. It's like, what is this world coming to? It's like, if it was me, I'd be like, I don't care. Fucking sue me. I'm gonna throw you out the door. I'm gonna lock it. Get out of here. You know, but you can't do that. You can't touch anybody. Well, no, you can't do that. It's nuts.
The law offices of Walker, Jameson, and Svedka said you can't do that. And you don't get the opportunity to beat somebody up.
I'm not saying beat them up, but like if somebody comes in and say, somebody comes in with a coffee shop.
I'm there.
Somebody's screaming, I'm in. Listen to them like, hey, okay, blow a nut, you know, whatever, throw my shit on the floor, break my stuff. I can't touch you because I'm in suit. You know? I don't know.
Do you want reality?
I think that is reality.
Right. No, I'm going to give you some reality. In, let's see, 1988, I was part of campus safety for my college.
Yeah.
Of which I will not name.
Yeah.
There was an individual who had a severe emotional breakdown because I was at a particular highly religious college.
Yeah.
And this individual had figured out at some point within the recent – do that louder, please.
Sorry. God, I can't believe you guys can hear that. I'll put it away.
I can't believe you're actually trying it again.
I know. I'm dumb.
This individual had realized that he was gay. Mm. And this is mid-80s. Highly religious college.
Right.
Not a good thing. He was distraught and not in a place to make good decisions.
Right.
And I went as the officer on duty to go talk to him. And I don't even know why I'm bringing up the story. What was your goofy shit that you said before?
Just wing it. About being physical or controlling a situation without being sued.
Right. Okay.
Kind of that kind of thought.
So yeah, exactly. So I go into, I get him outside of his room and we're just sitting together next to each other in the hallway. And I'm just talking to him. And there's a lot of quiet time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, hey, what about this? What are you thinking? You know, and I'm going for everything that I know about how to just talk with people, because I'm just trying to treat this kid like a person. He's 2 years younger than me.
Right.
And he's freaking out that he just realized that he tried to put a move on his roommate or whatever. Mm. And I'm right. Like, look, you know, and mind you, I'm at the time a staunch jackass fuckhead of a Republican.
Yeah.
But I'm also independent enough to know that I'm sitting next to a human. This is one right. of my people. I'm with a person. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
I gotta help him. I gotta help him somehow. He saw me, and I'm gonna do it now too, thinking about it. He yeah. saw me break down in tears coming out of my eyes.
Yeah.
Trying to talk with him and say, you know what, dude, it doesn't matter. I don't care what these people think.
Right.
You and me, right? You and me right now. What do you need? He's like, I just need someone to let me know I'm okay. I ended up giving him a back rub. Just touching his shoulders was enough yeah. for him to know yeah. that somebody cared. Someone cared enough.
Yeah. I got you. How did it end?
The police came and said, we're going to take you to a home. We got a place for you. You're going to be okay.
Gotcha. He actually wanted to leave, eh?
Yeah. And about 2 weeks later, I talked to him, and he was getting help. In so much as just someone counseling him through his grief.
Right,
right. There was a lot more going on. And, right. and I knew there had to be a lot more going on. And, you know, and this is what it comes down to. We're just a bunch of crazy monkeys. And there's always yeah. something going on in the back of our heads more than each of us knows. And, you know, you give somebody respect. You give them a little bit of patience and caring. And you, maybe you can make a difference. I don't know if right. I made a difference in his life.
Sounds good.
I don't know.
You did what you thought was right.
I hope he's okay. You know, you never know. But it's one of those things where if you can reach out and hold somebody's hand, even if it's yeah. uncomfortable for you, you hold their hand and you tell them they're okay.
Yeah.
And they can figure it out.
Right. Because right.
20 minutes later, you're gone. I haven't seen him since 1987.
Right.
The moment the cops walked him out, they didn't cuff him. They just walked with him and very respectfully took him out and said, you know, we're gonna take you to a place that's going to be able to help you.
Right.
And I don't
right,
know what
right.
happened to. I don't know what happened to him after that, but I watched him go. And I knew I had done at least something.
Right, right. Yep.
You know. Wow, where did this show go? How did this show get this way?
I left it up to you.
What the hell? Why the hell did you leave it to me? I'm just a jackass who's going to ramble on like crazy. God dang.
Apparently it was Bill's show tonight. It was your show tonight.
El Carpe says, hey, let's throw this out there. What the hell? Let's make him cry. Whatever.
You're very empathetic.
Crazy old fart. Well, and I can't help it. You know,
I don't mind. It's built into me, too.
I don't care that I can't help it. I'm going to be an empathetic asshole until the day I kick the bucket. I don't care.
It's a good quality.
You know, it's got to be something. So I'm going to let you know that the law offices of... Jameson, Walker, and Smedka have told us that whatever we say is, of course, not gospel. It is not something you want to base law on. These guys are rambling jackholes, and they should not be paid attention to. And we're okay with that, as Aaron
yes, we are.
El Carpe. We're fine with that. We like to ramble. But since we have the legal representation of Walker, Jameson, and Svedka, we like to make sure that we promote them as much as possible. So if you ever need legal representation of someone to, you're going to do the way you walk, thank you very much. That's how we close it. Jesus Christ.
I just mixed it up a little bit. That's all.
I know. I'm with you. I got you. I'm
with you, brother. All right, let's wrap it up.
Losses and Walker Jameson Svedka says you need to go ahead and YouTube search this band right here. Find them.
Shazam it and it'll come up.
I'll have to try. Shazam this?
You might. I'll try it. Right on, we're done. I'll try it as we go.
Yeah, let's do it. Because, you know.
Shazam. This,
Are you telling Siri to find Shazam?
No, I'm going to Shazam it right now. Here we go.
Okay. All right, you're being one of those. All right. This is Six and the Sevens. And the song by the Six and the Sevens. The Detroit band Six and the Sevens.
Yeah,
I have. Clock. And this is awesome.
What actually, I can't because it's not. It's no, it's coming through my, like a dumbass. It's coming through my ear pod, and I'm trying to put it up on the computer. I'm still stupid. Anyways.
You're still my favorite.
I appreciate that. You're my favorite, too.
Your favorite what? I don't know, but you're still my favorite. Hey, we're going to do a show on Sunday, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. It's going to be goofy, silly. We're going to have some kind of goofy trivia. We're going to have Song of the Week, Album of the Week. Each of us, whatever it is, be fun. It'd be crazy.
I think I'll be your host.
You'd be the host.
Upstairs at Eric's. Music.
It'll be all right.
Well,
it'll be fun. It'll be silly. It'll be crazy. It's the part where you hang up on me. I'm tired of talking to you.
Now? Are we done?
I don't know. Are we? Mm-hmm. Are you done with me?
I think so. I don't think anybody else is listening.
Yeah, no one else cares.
I'll give a shout out to my buddy Jeff over Rack House Ramblings.
Hey, Rat.
Nonsense Password, our mentor. Yeah. Father Brian.
Hey, Father Brian.
J-Lo. Hobo. Chillin'. Hey, yeah.
Also
and, people. My mom.
A lot of good
your
stuff
mom,
out here on the Podbean. Hey, Ma.
Our parents. And how about adios, amigos?
Get out of here. Tired of
talking. All right, I'll talk to you in a little bit. Ciao, man.
Okay, brother.
All right, see ya.
Pull my finger.
I'll let your wife do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Bye. Bye.